Welcome to Mythic Imagination. I'm Honora Foa.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
Well, it's the holidays. Send in the psychiatrists. People get the blues, suicide rates go up, and domestic violence escalates. We say this is because of the disconnect between the cheer of the season and the actual lives we live, between what we imagine we should feel and what we do. But the fear and depression as the sun diminishes and abandons us is as old as human beings. It is the fear itself that gave rise in every place on earth to solstice celebrations, propitiations, and invocations of warmth and hope and light. In the midst of the fading sun, the inner light has to be born. Ancient Scandinavia held a winter festival known as Yule. Logs were lit in honor of Thor, the god of thunder. The number of sparks that flew from the Yule logs foretold the number of pigs or calves to be born the next year. Feasting continued until the logs burned out, which, if the merrymakers could stay sober long enough to replenish the logs, took as many as 12 days. Besides warmth, other kinds of heat are celebrated. In classic Rome, the Saturnalia was celebrated by the cessation of rules. The entire city's populace, including its slaves, participated in feasts, song sprees, and gambling. The poet Catullus described it as the best of days. Rome also celebrated the winter solstice on December 25th. It was called Dies Natalis Solis Invicti, the birthday of the unconquered sun. In Germany, the holiday was called Midwinternacht, or Wintersonnenwende, winter solstice. The celebration included 12 Rauchnacht, harsh or wild nights filled with more eating, drinking, and prolonged revels. Through the garbled wisdom of all these traditions, our current celebrations of Christmas evolved. The celebration has always been about the birth of light, and so these were the days chosen to celebrate the birth of Jesus. By the Middle Ages, Christmas became linked to the pagan traditions of feasting, singing, and cavorting. Caroling became so popular that various writers of the time labeled it as lewd and condemned its notorious drunkenness, promiscuity, and gambling. Another great event at this time of year is the Jewish festival of lights and miracles, Hanukkah. The central image here as well is of light shining in the dark, of human courage and devotion restoring the world. It is held on 8 successive nights, beginning on the 25th day of Kislev, the third month of the Jewish calendar. The time frame corresponds to December in the Gregorian calendar. Hanukkah commemorates the rededication of the Temple of Jerusalem after Antiochus IV, Epiphanes, king of Syria and overlord of Palestine, had profaned it. To give us her unique interpretation of these familiar themes, we are delighted to have with us tonight Ellen Kushner. Ms. Kushner is a writer, performer, and storyteller who hosts Public Radio International's program, Sound and Spirit. She joins us now from her home in New York City. Hi, Ellen. Welcome to Mythic Imagination.
Hey, Honora. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. It was great working with you this past June at Mythic Journeys, and I am thrilled to have you on our show. Ellen, you are a wonderful storyteller, and it is a work of art the way in sound and spirit you weave a little myth, a little magic, and great music into one beautiful whole each week. Since birth and renewal appear in so many forms at this time of year, can you tell us about the shows you have done that tied together the mysteries of birth and winter celebrations?
Well, the two albums that I produced for Rykodisc are pretty different from each other. The first one was called Welcoming Children into the World, and that is an album based on one of our most popular Sound and Spirit programs, Welcoming Children into the World, which was an entire show that we did about music and customs around the world having to do with having a new baby in your life. And it's just wonderful how many different ways there are of welcoming new children into our midst. And we got so many requests for copies of that show, and unfortunately we can't make or sell copies of the Sound and Spirit programs, although in fact you can do that by recording the show yourself off the air. That's legal, but it's not legal for us to do it for you. And of course all this is moot now because you can listen to Sound and Spirit on the internet anytime you want, including to the Welcoming Children into the World show. But at the time that this was all happening, it was back before the year 2000, none of this was possible, and people kept saying, oh, my friends are having a baby, I'm having a baby, I'm going to be delivering a child soon, I want to listen to this show in the delivery room. And we thought, all right, that's enough. So we got together with Rykodisc and collected. We tried to get all the songs from the show in, but it turned out that we couldn't get the rights to some of them. And then we found other songs that were even better. And my favorite song that was not in the original program but is on the album and that everybody loves is called Happy Adoption Day. And it's about something very important to a lot of us, which is that sometimes your child isn't born out of your own body, but you still are welcoming it into your family. And the absolute favorite song on the album of everyone is Little Potato, which once you hear it, you will never forget it, and everybody who has it sings it to their kids. So that was just a fun album to do, and my voice isn't on that album. I collected the songs. I worked with some of my colleagues at Sound and Spirit to do that, and I wrote the liner notes, and the liner notes are almost a karaoke version of the radio show. I kind of took my script, changed it a little, and dropped in the names of the songs that are in the that are on the album. So you can sort of be me. You can read the liner notes out loud and then play the songs and kind of roll your own Sound and Spirit.
You're my little potato. You're my little potato. You're my little potato. They dug you up. You come from underground. The world is big, so big, it's very big. To you, it's new to you. You're my little potato, you're my little potato, you're my little potato, dug you up, you come from underground.
The other album that I did does have my voice on it, and that was a story and musical performance that I developed for stage production, which we also turned into a one-hour radio program, and that is called The Golden Dreidel, A Klezmer Nutcracker for Hanukkah. And what it is this wonderful band out of Boston, a klezmer band called Shirim, S-H-I-R-I-M, which means songs. And they, just for fun, took the Nutcracker Suite and took Tchaikovsky's music back to its folkloric roots and played all of those unbelievably overfamiliar tunes as klezmer music. And it makes them sound fresh and new. And once you're done laughing over the fact that the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy is played on a tuba, it's actually great music. So I heard this and said, gee, this is wonderful, and someone should write a story to go with this music. And it was decided that I would do this, so I wrote a story to go with the music, and the band and I sat around for a long time arguing about what the story should be, and we decided to just do a sort of subversive, modern version of the Nutcracker story, only this time it's a Jewish kid at a Hanukkah party. And she finds a golden dreidel is given to her by a mysterious relative who, instead of her uncle Drosselmeyer, is her tanta, her aunt Miriam, who's also a mysterious and magical figure. And one of the things that I did when I was writing the Golden Dreidel was to subvert the Nutcracker story by making almost all of the powerful and charismatic figures in it female. So the Golden Dreidel is really a princess, not a prince, and the girls have all these adventures, and they meet the Queen of Sheba, and the big mysterious magic person is Tanta Miriam instead of a male relative. I had a great time doing it. I have a great time performing it with the band. We recorded it for radio, and I was delighted that Ryko just picked it up and released it for as a CD that anybody can walk into a store or go online and buy. But to this day, we perform the show every year at least once and often several times in several different cities. It's a tremendous amount of fun to perform live. And I have to tell you that an editor in Boston came to me and said, could you turn it into a book? So I keep forgetting I did this because I moved this year and I had so many projects that I did it kind of in a flurry of haste. But it is, in fact, the book is done. It's going to be a chapter book for young readers. It's got wonderful illustrations, and it'll be out a year from this fall.
Ellen, listen, for our readers who may not know, what is a dreidel?
So what is a golden dreidel? Well, a dreidel is a toy that people play with at the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah, which always falls midwinter at about the same time as Christmas. And Hanukkah is just a fun party time. And you do all sorts of things for it traditionally that you're not supposed to do in daily life, like gamble. And so the dreidel is a little four-sided top with Hebrew letters on it. And you spin, and whatever letter the top falls on says whether you get money or you give money. You throw money into the pot or you take money out of the pot when it's your turn. And traditionally, dreidels were made of clay, of wood. When I was a little kid, they were always plastic. Sometimes they had chocolate inside. So in my story, The Golden Dreidel, obviously the dreidel's made of gold, or at least it looks like gold, and it's really big, and there's clearly something magical and mysterious about it, just as in The Nutcracker, little Clara gets her nutcracker, and it's a toy, but it's kind of big and kind of powerful and magic-looking. And in this case, little Sarah gets her toy, and she doesn't want it because she doesn't like dreidels, and she's bored with Hanukkah. She wants to be like all the other kids and have a Christmas tree. So it's her journey of discovery through a kind of a mythic Jewish world. I hate to say that because it sounds very preachy, and I really worked very hard not to let this story be preachy. It's not the story of how a little girl learns to love being Jewish. It's a story about how a little girl goes into another world that is full of Jewish mythic and folkloric characters and kicks ass and comes home, which is the story that we all love to read when we're kids.
That's a great story. Nothing wrong with a little Jewish girl going out into the world and kicking ass. Okay, so you probably have more CDs piled around your living room than you could shake a dreidel at. So if I were to climb down the chimney right now, what would I find in the CD player?
I've been listening to an album by an artist I really adore named Savina Yanatou. She's Greek, and she's totally interstitial. She's got a background in classical studies and traditional music and improvised music and jazz, and she takes all of this Mediterranean music, including some Sephardic Jewish music, but also, you know, Bulgarian folk music and you know, Greek folk music, and makes the most wonderful, wonderful sounds. I'll spell her name for you. It's Yannatou. I've also been feeding my evil self by this guy who does sort of nerd, geek, highly literate rap called Schaefer the Dark Lord, who I saw performing here in New York. I was in a show with him and a bunch of other people. It was a very interstitial show, and I just totally fell in love with him. And Frankie Armstrong, great traditional British singer, a lot of whose recordings influenced Thomas the Rhymer. I found new CDs of very traditional material that I've never heard her sing before. Thank God again for being online. I can find her. So I'm living a rich and happy cultural life.
Yes, you are. You are living a very rich and happy cultural life. And we thank you for taking time out of it to join us on our rich and happy cultural life here at Mythic Imagination. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this.
As I said, it's the holidays, the time of year to remember who our friends and family are, who the people are who have given us the goodness in our lives, and remember them in the spirit of gratitude and gifting. For myself, as deeply as I respect the miracle of the 8 days of burning oil in the temple, or the miracle of the star that guided the wise men, it is the miracles I have witnessed myself that touch me most deeply. Mythic Imagination Institute and the volunteers who run it are a miracle that I have the extraordinary opportunity to live with and inside of every day. We can be jerks just like everybody else. We make mistakes, we squabble, but you know what? Not that much. Instead, there is a fragile little miracle of people working with sustained and loving heart. These podcasts, for example, were conceived, are produced, and mostly written by the inimitable Donna Barnett. Brad Barnett slaves away, after hours recording and editing, putting in music, commenting, kibitzing, and he usually brings the schnapps at Creative Digital Group, who lets us use their studio free of charge. Jeffrey Armus, a dear and talented friend, donated his music after much begging. One person you do not hear much from on the podcasts is my co-president at Mythic Imagination, Michael Carlin. We record the shows too late in the evening, and he is committed to being home with his wife and his family of 3 small children. Michael is the founder and one of the chief financial benefactors of our work. He also likes to dance. There are dark days, and there always will be. To see these people, and there are many, many more who work for Mythic Imagination, is to have the incredible good fortune to witness the birth of the light over and over again. It was an honor tonight hosting our very special guest, Ellen Kushner. Ellen is the author of Swordpoint and the best-selling novel, Thomas the Rhymer. This brilliant novel won the World Fantasy Award. Her most recent novel is The Privilege of the Sword. Along with Delia Sherman, Ellen co-wrote the novel The Fall of the Kings. Please visit Ellen on the web at www.ellenkushner.com. For more information about Sound and Spirit, that's the show that Bill Moyers called the best show on public radio, please visit www.pri.org. To order a copy of the Golden Dreidel CD, please visit rykodisc.com, R-Y-K-O-D-I-S-C, or amazon.com. To listen to Sound and Spirit featuring the Golden Dreidel, go to www.wgbh.org. And in this season of light, our deepest thanks go out to you, our listeners. We love hearing from you. Please email your comments to info@mythicjourneys.org. Tonight we'll leave you with a surprise visit from an ancient archetype. No, not Santa. Ellen Kushner's Tante Miriam from The Golden Dreidel.
All of a sudden, the door blew open with a bang. In walked an old, old lady with a huge old duffel bag on her shoulders. Her hair was as white as the moon, and she was all wrapped up in layers and layers of scarves, all the colors of the world.
Thank you.
From all of us at the Mythic Imagination family, may all of your Hanukkahs, Kwanzas, Christmases, Yules, and Diwalis be bright. And remember, every life is a story, and a story can change the world.